as was just said, 1 Thessalonians 5:14 24. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. This is the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When you all of a sudden get to the point where you shut this thing off, let me know. That way I can wander around where I want. Yeah, see, Cameron used to live about, half a mile. We lived about half a mile apart. And now we're living a little further apart because Refuge Ranch, what we knew as Refuge Ranch, that has been sold. And so I have moved. My name is Rick Platt. And I'm 78 years old. I'll be 80 next year. And my favorite day of the week is Wednesday because that's when I can go to prison. I like to go to prison. I've been in and out of prison for over 30 years. I tell the guys inside I'm a lifer. I'm just using it, doing it in short spells. And I'm always grateful when they let me out. Praise God. Most speakers that have never been in a congregation before, they will get up and they will say, I have gone to this Bible school, and I've gone to that Bible school, and I've gone to this seminary, and I've gone to this, and then I have this kind of a degree, and I have that kind of a degree, and this kind of degree, and I have none of that. I've never gone to Bible school. I've never gone to high school. I left school when I was 14 years old. And I'm 78 now, and I can bet you any money that I have not been unemployed more than 6 months in total from 14 till now. I have told a bunch of people that come from Newfoundland, they come over here to work, and they say, we can't find work there. And I bet you if I go there within 2 weeks, I'll have a job. Yeah, there's a secret to that. Anyway, I want to tell you, I have the table back there with these letters on there. It gives you a little bit of insight into what has transpired in my life in the last month. And then if you want to find out what has transpired in my life in the last number of years, you pick up this little book. If you could give me a bit of a donation for this book, I appreciate it, because they cost a little bit of money. But I do not have a specific price for them. And if you don't have money and you want one, take one. All right? And gives you a little bit of insight about me and my spiritual journey. I find this cowboy church quite subdued. To me, it's a real challenge to stay here. I'm way more comfortable being all over. Pentecostal or something. No, I actually am of Mennonite background. But most of them would think I'm kind of an outlaw. I preached in the Fort Saskatchewan prison one Sunday morning, and an inmate came to me after. He said, are you a Pentecostal preacher? And I said, no, I'm not. Well, he said, you got the fire for it. And I said, They don't have a monopoly on it. Really? They don't. You know, and when the Spirit of God got a hold of me and lit me up, I'll tell you what, I am excited. I used to be addicted to hockey, you know. Like, my knees still feel the results of that. I used to be addicted. I'd play 3 games a day, and I would just about kill myself physically playing hockey. I got excited about the game, but I'll tell you now, this is what I'm excited about. You know, I could stand here. Oh, by the way, when do I have to be finished? Huh? 5 to 8. Okay, I'll try and do my best. You see, really, for me, it's not that difficult because being in and out of prison, I've heard some preachers, they're in the middle of the message or somewhere along the message, or maybe they've been into it already for 3/4 of an hour, and they all of a sudden say, now, the Holy Spirit is guiding me to do this and this and to say this and this and this and this. You know what I found out when you're ministering in prison? The Holy Spirit does not lead you beyond your time limit. Because when your time is up, you better believe in. You're done. That's wonderful. It's a good thing to learn. Most preachers should learn that. I said to Dee this week on the phone, I said, you know, she wondered about what scripture to read and so on and so forth. I'm delighted the scripture was read. What version was that? Huh? Not according to my NIV Bible. See, I'm going to leave that where it is. I said to Dee, I am a redneck cowboy. And the scripture that I like to memorize is in the old King James Version because the school I attended, that's what we did. And so, if there's all of a sudden a word that you say, well, Rick, what in the world does that mean? You just fire away and ask, and I'll tell you. That's what preachers are for. And if they don't know, I have to sometimes tell the guys in the prison, you know what, guys? I'm sorry, I don't know now, but I'll tell you next week. I will find out. Oh, by the way, I'll be back next week. Unless you fire me tonight. Huh? I wasn't asked to. Anyway. You know what it says in Isaiah 53:6? Let's get one thing straight. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So, we got it? But God, love those two words, but God. There's a guy in my class in minimum security in Drumheller. we've used that word, and he really caught on to that. He's a guy from Peru, and he caught on to this, but God. Yes, you got problems, you got struggles, you got challenges in your life, but God. Remember those two words, but God. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm loud, aren't I? Like I told you, I get excited about these things because you know what? I accepted Jesus when I was 18 years old. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I walked into the cow barn where I was moving feed bunks. This was in Manitoba. I was moving feed bunks behind the barn because the turds freeze up and almost get beyond the height of the feed bunks. And so I was moving them to fresh places. And while you do something like that, well, you don't have to think. But a lady friend that I had out on 3 dates had asked me, Rick, are you a Christian? And I said, no. And she said, well, in that case, I can't see you again. I was just beginning to have fun. And now she smacked me right there. I can't see you again. Oh. But she said, I want to ask you one question. Why don't you want to be a Christian? You know what? The Spirit of God used that. I worked 50 miles south of where she lived. And so I drove this 53 Ford pickup truck, a baby blue 53 pickup truck. And I'm driving and all the way for 50 miles. Why don't you want to be a Christian? The next day, my boss and his wife were gone and I was by myself and I was moving these feed bunks behind the barn and the Spirit of God was still asking me that same question. Why don't you want to be a Christian? And I believe it was somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I had exhausted every excuse that I could possibly come up with. And I walked into the feed alley of that cow barn, and I knelt there in the feed alley. Anybody here still kneels when you pray? I learned that just a couple of years ago. I had kind of completely abandoned that. And I relearned it. And hallelujah! Ladies and gentlemen, if it's impossible for you, that's one thing. But if you can get down on your knees and pray to God and praise Him, worship Him. You know what? There's some people that think there's a certain kind of music that's worship music. Huh! Worship starts in your heart. That's where. And when we begin to worship God from our hearts, and oh yeah, sometimes it leads us into song. And it's amazing what kind of songs it leads me to. Yes! There I knelt in the feed alley of that cow barn, and I received Jesus as my Savior. But if you're going to read this book, you will find out that when I received Jesus as my Savior, He was not my Lord. Some of you may say you should fire him on the spot right now. He was my Savior, but he was not my Lord. I tell you, folks, it took a while before he became my Lord. But I'll tell you what, when he became my Lord, I got excited. Because you know what? When Jesus all of a sudden becomes your Lord, woo! It is incredible. It is incredible. What happens? I haven't started preaching yet. Because the scripture was read, it was 1 Thessalonians 5:14 to 24. Now this is the Old King James Version. Now I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, the patient, be patient toward all men. These are all hard assignments. That's hard to do, isn't it? Well, there's a few of them, it's not that bad. But all men? Really? See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Hey, you know what? In somewhere around 1977, I all of a sudden began to get some interesting phone calls. Are you expecting your kid brother? No. That's it. And I'd get these kind of phone calls, and then some of my siblings got these kind of phone calls. And then all of a sudden we realized that he was missing. In 1980, my oldest brother was told by the RCMP that our youngest brother, who was the baby of the family, he was 20 years old at the time, had been murdered in 1976. He had been strangled in his bed. He worked in Thompson, Manitoba. He had been strangled in his bed, his body wrapped in a blanket and dragged into the bush, and it's never been found. Now, you may have gone to Bible school a long time. You may have gone to all kinds of seminaries. and all kinds of different educational things. But you can, they cannot teach you in institutions what that kind of news does to you. Like, I was absolutely livid. If the man that had strangled my brother was standing in front of me and I had a gun in my hand, I could have shot him between the eyes without flinching. No problem. And the next day, I was furiously upset when I was traveling from Portage la Prairie. That's where we had had a Christmas, family Christmas dinner on that in 1980. And the next day I was traveling to Winnipeg and I was livid and my family was with me, my wife. Oh, by the way, I was married happily for 58 years. And then on December the 5th, my wife happily went to glory. You think, oh, this guy's crazy. You know what? I was sitting there and she was in her deathbed and I said, dear, would you like to go home and be with Jesus now? And she said, yep. And I said, well, I'm going to ask him to come and get you. So that night I did just that. And the next morning I went to the Foothills Hospital where she was, and I sat beside her bed. When I took a hold of her hand, it was cold, but she was breathing. And I listened as she took her last breath, and she was gone. Glory! Praise God! Oh yeah, no. I know about weeping. I know about groaning. I don't know if you do, but I do. But praise God. God is good. A day before she went to glory, Carol sat there in her deathbed and she smiled at me and she said, God is good. You bet he is. You bet he is. Anyway, where was I? I was livid. I was angry. I was mad at God. I was mad at my situation. You know what God said to me? His Spirit. He said, Rick, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13. I wasn't well enough versed in the scripture. I didn't know what it said there. So I got to my oldest sister's house in St. Boniface, and I, before I went to bed, I took my Bible, I opened it up, and I read 1 Corinthians 13, and then I was mad. The gall that God would have in my situation to get me to read that chapter, you know what he said? You better read it again. And I have no idea how often I read it, but he had me read it until the light came on. The man that murdered my brother served 24 years. He did not only kill my brother, he killed another man very viciously, very brutal. I was registered as a victim, and so during the time that that man was doing his time, I knew exactly where he was at all times. If he got to go to the hospital from the prison, I knew about it. I knew everywhere he was until he died. And the Canadian Parole Board sent me a letter and said, as far as we can tell, the man was never, ever remorseful for what he did. You know what that tells me? If that's true, then I know where he is. Then I know where he is. That's serious stuff. That is serious stuff. Anyway, I got to quickly preach a little bit and then I got to sit down. Rejoice evermore. What does R-E mean? What does it mean? You go out to school quite a bit. What does R-E mean? Re. What does it mean? Huh? Re. What does it mean? Come on, somebody. Ah, there we go. Re. That means do it, repeat. Do it over. Again, re. Rejoice. Have you ever had joy in your heart? Have you ever had, I mean, I'm not talking about winning the lottery. I'm not talking about getting a new car. I'm not talking about buying your first house. I'm not talking about it. No. Have you had joy in your heart? The joy that comes from the throne of God, from the portals of glory. Have you had that joy in your heart? Have it some more. Again, and again, and again, and again. If you rejoice over the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you to wash away your sins. Come on, people. Go crazy. Anyway, we've got to carry on. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Huh? Continually. You know, I'm convinced that it's not a good idea to have a prayer life. It's not a good idea to have a prayer life. I think it is a marvelous idea to have a life of prayer. That's what I do. I talk to the Lord about anything, everything. He's interested in every essential aspect of my life. Okay. And everything give thanks. Oh, no, that's impossible. When you are hurting and you are aching and things are not going good and you have some kids that don't give a tinker's hoot about God and anything about God's word, it's not easy to give thanks, is it? But here Paul is exhorting the Thessalonian church. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You sometimes have a young person say, maybe even some older ones, that say, I don't know what God's will is for me. Well, I'll tell you what it is. To give thanks. That's what. That's God's will for you and me. And quench not the Spirit. You know the Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit? It's kind of turned me into a, he's a little nuts. Quench not the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit. You know, I was in my friend's house in Watrous, Saskatchewan, and he had a little three-year-old guy, and I connected with this little kid right away. Like, we connected. And so, we just had a Last Supper that I was going to be there, and this kid, he is just dancing around. Oh, and he was laughing and dancing around, and his father had no idea. He asked his son, son, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I thought, Pops, you don't know that this fellow's spirit is living. He doesn't even know it, but he is. The Spirit of God is alive in him, and he is not quenching the Holy Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned, and Paul writes a few of them, recipes. Recipes. Now here is a grand, grand recipe for successful Christian living. You follow this? Whatever you're cooking is going to come out good. That's a good recipe. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You ever pray God to sanctify you? I do. Virtually every day. Lord, sanctify me. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I don't want to be just a spittoon. No, no. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ. I want to be a member of the church that's registered up in glory, and I want to be an honorable member in that church. And I pray God, your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the three in me talks about spirit, soul, and body. And when I came to recognize and realize what that meant, amen.